Good morning. Glad you're taking time out of your day to spend time focusing on God and His Word. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1 today, so grab your Bible and turn to Colossians, the first chapter. Before I begin, I'd like to pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I ask that you would help us focus on your word, that your spirit would have opportunity to minister to our spirit, that we wouldn't be distracted, but that we would hear from you through your word. So we thank you for this time, and I pray that it would effectively help to mold and shape us into the people you created us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How is it that some people have great endurance and patience to get through just about anything this life throws at them? I think it may have something to do with the type of people surrounding them and the experience of God's faithfulness moving in their lives. Most of us here can think of people we really want to see walking more closely with Christ, be it a friend, our children, our spouse, a co-worker, a neighbor. Some of them are already strong in their walk with Christ. Some of them may be struggling. Some may not have come to know Jesus yet. When you look at their lives, you're convinced that they need to walk with Christ more than anything else. When you think about it, there are a number of things we can do to help those we care about walk with Christ. For one thing, we can live by example. God's Word says in Matthew 5, we're to let our light shine before others. We can show others what it looks like to walk with Christ. Many people have never seen a follower of Christ walking humbly with God. Our lives can be a powerful example. To have great endurance and patience to get through anything this life throws at us, Paul shares this insight in Colossians 1:29. I labor, strive according to God's power, in order to present people complete in Christ. Paul made every effort to help others walk with Christ. The best effort invested was he prayed for people. He believed that his prayers would have a great impact on their spiritual progress. Paul's prayer for the Colossians that we find here in Colossians 1:9-14 gives us some insight on how to pray for the spiritual growth of the people closest to us. Follow along as I read Colossians 1:9-14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son, of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Look at how and what he prayed in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That, my friend, is a powerful prayer. When Paul spoke about the will of God, he was talking about the revealed will of God, the things that God had made known about himself and about how his people should live. Where do we find this kind of information? May I suggest God's word? Prayer? hanging out with people have taken hold of this knowledge. A person filled with the knowledge of God's will has an understanding of who God is and His plan or direction for their life. That person isn't simply filled with Bible trivia. That person has come to understand who God is and that He has a plan for their life. Paul prays that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in spiritual wisdom and understanding. He knew that it is the Spirit that gives a working knowledge of God's will. He prayed boldly for spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, in all situations, he wanted the Spirit to give these people insight and discernment as to how to go about their day, revealing what God wanted them to think, say, and do. What would happen if we all prayed in this manner? I mean, for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, for our community, for our nation, and our world. For example, let's say that your friend's going through some difficulty, an illness, loss of a job, or strained relationship. I mean, your friend's ultimate need is to be filled with the knowledge of God's will concerning that situation. Even though you and I might not know specifically what God wants to accomplish in that situation, we can know this from the valuable information stored in the arsenal of God's Word. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 instructs us to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It is the will of God for us to be refined through the trials we endure. God always has a plan to deepen our trust and our love for Him. And sometimes the trials or difficulties He allows us to go through is what He chooses to use. For the most part, we all want the best for the people we know, so we pray. It's good, it's right to pray that God might change the difficult circumstances. If you have a friend who's suffering with some illness, it's good to pray for healing and for health. Be reminded, though, that James 1 also suggests that we should pray that they would allow this trial to produce endurance in their lives. We should allow our understanding of God's ways inform the way we pray. With this understanding, we begin to live our lives in a manner worthy of the Lord. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord doesn't merely mean getting busy doing good works. It involves bearing fruit as we do good works. This fruit involves the personal fruit of the Spirit working in our life. Add to that as well the fruit of seeing others' lives changed by God. Our knowledge of God grows and matures as we walk with Him. The knowledge of God isn't merely a matter of piling up facts about God. It is a relational knowledge. This is what Paul wanted for himself back in Philippians 3, 7 through 10, when he wrote, "All these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I have thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone." Yes, everything else is worthless compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing, in order that I can have Christ and become one with Him, no longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith, counting on Christ alone. Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ and experience the mighty power that brought Him back to life. and to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. This man Paul was walking through life in resurrection power, as you and I are to do as well. Back in Colossians 1, 11 and 12, Paul mentions being strengthened with all power. This is what we read. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of the steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We don't just need a little bit of help from God. We need his power coursing through our lives. Pleasing God isn't something that can be done by willpower or in the power of the flesh in and of ourselves. We're way too weak. We need the power of God's glorious might, which leads to steadfastness and patience. The only person who lives a life pleasing to God is the person strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Paul builds on this idea in verses 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we as believers need to take our eyes off our immediate circumstance and remember that God has rescued us from the domain of darkness. That being all the things that keep us from trusting and loving him, and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We now live in a kingdom ruled by the one who loved us so much he laid down his life for us. Instead of bondage and oppression, this kingdom is characterized by freedom, redemption, and forgiveness, no matter what this life throws our way. That, my friend, is reason to joyously give thanks to the Father. We must understand that this description of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord is the fruit of being filled with the knowledge of God's will. Think about it. One of the most effective things we can do for the people we love is pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of God and his will for their life. At the end of the day, God knows the plan he has for each of our lives. We are to walk in his ways, not in his way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you fill us with the knowledge of God's will for our lives, that we may trust, love, and serve you more today, tomorrow, and until you call us home or call again. Come again. I ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.